Praise the Lord. Kennedy, would you mind grabbing that fan off the side room and just toss it on me here at Lowell Boat? Just past those flowers. It's warm up here. Well, praise the Lord. Thanksgiving Sunday is I would say, quickly becoming one of my favorite days to preach, because it's just a time when we get to reflect on God's goodness and just come to church with thankful hearts for all that He's done for us. And, you know, one of the things that I do, I've made a habit of doing whenever I come into town to start my day or come into town for church or anything like that, is just spend a couple minutes in prayer, just thanking the Lord for the day and dedicating this day. And so it was just Christian and I this morning, because Candace and Kennedy were already here, and Kylie's already in Calgary. She's there for a couple weeks. And so it was just Christian and I, and just as I was praying, this year, in spite of everything that's happened, is just a year that we can still be so grateful and thankful for the Lord's provision, His protection, how He's guided us, how He's kept us. We're still here and we're doing well, and God's helping us be strong and courageous. Amen. And so this is a year that, it's impacted me differently. Just thinking and reflecting on God's goodness and His faithfulness to us. And so we're gonna talk a little bit about that just for a few minutes this morning. I've titled today's sermon, "The God of Plenty." Now, in the Bible, there's many names that are used for God. The names of God reveal His character, and they also unravel and reveal the nature of His covenant, the covenants that He made between man and Himself. And so His names reveal His character and His covenant. I'm going to take a stab at pronouncing a few of these. We have Elohim, the sovereign, mighty creator. We have Jehovah, the unchangeable, intimate God. We have El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. We have Adonai, Lord and Master. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord my sanctifier. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner of victory. That's, we were declared in Jehovah Nisi this morning when declaring the Lord is our victory. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace and wholeness. Those are powerful. Do you see how even just talking about the names of the Lord start to build faith in you? They start to, just even reading the names of God, and we start to get a better understanding and a better revelation of His character and nature. And so there's so many names of God that are used in God's Word, because it's meant to inspire us and give us faith and obviously a sense of awe of who He is, but how powerful He is towards His people and all that His covenant represents toward His people. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to talk about El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. In Genesis 17, this is God coming and talking to Abraham. And this was, Abraham was 99 years old. This is verse 1. The Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I'll make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants." At this time, Abraham fell down, face down on the ground. And God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. I'll make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It's no longer going to be Abram. It's going to be Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations." That's what Abraham means. "I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I'll confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give you the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God." Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to your word with joy. We thank you, Lord, that you have revelation for us this morning on who you are, as we talk about Jehovah El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the God of more than enough, the Almighty, all-sufficient God. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal your character and your nature and your covenant to us. As we study your word today, we come with open hearts, ears ready to receive your word. We thank you that you give me utterance, Lord, that you help me speak the things that are in my heart, the things that you've shown me this week, Lord. We declare open flow of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, even as I speak right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So get this. You know, we have, I listed all these names of God, but we have this name, El Shaddai, and it has multiple meanings as well. There's so much here. And so when we're looking at El Shaddai, El means, really means just God. And then, you know, a lot of these, there's a lot of names that incorporate that word in the Hebrew as well. But Shaddai has multiple meanings itself. It means God on the holy mountain. It means God of the wilderness. It means God, the destroyer of armies. God the Almighty, the sovereign God. And then it has several names in regards to provision as well. It means God, the all-sufficient one. God, the nurturer of babies. And that's in the sense of a mother nurturing and feeding and raising and protecting their children. And then the God who is more than enough. And so when Abraham and God were having this conversation, God speaking with Abraham, he wanted Abraham to know that, Abraham, you're 99 years old, you don't have a child, but I am mighty, I am almighty and all-powerful to supply all your needs. God was saying, I know you're too old to have a child, but I am El Shaddai. I'm almighty, I'm the all-sufficient one, and I'm the God who's more than enough. Now the word sufficient, if we look at the word sufficient in the dictionary, it means enough to meet the needs of any situation or a proposed end. So all-sufficient means more than enough to meet any need in any situation. It's more than adequate supply. And so the covenant God made with Abraham was made in the context of God revealing himself as El Shaddai to Abraham, the almighty, all-sufficient, more than enough God. And go ahead and put verse 6 back up there again, Christian, if you could. That's in Exodus 17. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be on them. And then verse 8, and I will give you the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. So in this context of God revealing himself as El Shaddai to Abraham, he's also outlining and starting to reveal his covenant, the covenant that he's making with Abraham. And the heart of God was for his people to be extremely fruitful and to experience blessing, his blessing, the outpouring of his blessing in the land of Canaan, which we also call the Promised Land. Now, of course, during the time of Moses, the people weren't in the Promised Land at all. They were, they had been slaves in the land of Egypt for hundreds of years. They had been there for 430 years. But they are not in the Promised Land at all. We know that they had originally, in the time of Joseph, that Jacob and the rest of Jacob's sons had come to the land of Egypt just to survive in a land of famine. And they were getting by there, and then they started to prosper, and the Lord started to bless them. And of course, then great oppression came upon them, right? The Egyptians saw, these people are getting too powerful. If they revolt, if they turn against us, they'll wipe us out. And so they really turned all the Israelites into a nation of slaves and worked them really hard. We can read about that in the first part of the book of Genesis. God saw what was going on, and he had a plan. And his plan was to draw them out of slavery and take them to the Promised Land. And so in Exodus 3:8, this is God speaking now to Moses. He says, I have come down to rescue the people from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their fertile and spacious land, into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. All the ites lived there. And they had to conquer these people. They had to subdue them, drive them out of the land, and then take possession of the land that the Lord had given them. The Promised Land was always God's intent. It was God's intent in the time of Abraham. It was God's intent in the time of Joseph. It was God's intent in the time of Moses and Joshua. The Promised Land, and this the fertile and spacious land that is described as flowing with milk and honey. You know, when I was a kid, I just imagined rivers of milk and ponds of milk and honey dripping from the trees. Of course, we know that's not the case, but when I was a kid, I was just, that's where my mind went, right? And that'd be kind of gross, actually. But it was obviously a place where it was fertile, and you could raise livestock, and you could raise animals, and you could thrive on the land. And I guess there were honey farms there as well, too, right, Eckhart? Praise the Lord, there's honey farms in the Promised Land. You know, it's interesting, however, the Promised Land's the land of more than enough. It's the land of abundance. But on the way to the Promised Land, that was not the people's experience. On the way to the Promised Land, what happened was we know the story. They left Egypt. The Egyptians chased after them because they realized, what have we done? This is our workforce. We've let these people go. And if we let them go, we're going to have to do the work. Get them back. And so they sent the army, and they ended up getting destroyed in the Red Sea. And then the people started to make their way to the Promised Land. And it was like maybe hours, but for sure no longer than days, they started to complain about the food situation. They said, you know, when we were in Egypt, we were slaves, but we used to have pots of meat and fresh bread that we could eat, you know, and they didn't have that, obviously, out in the deserts. They started right away to complain. And so Moses takes this to the Lord, and here's what the Lord does. That evening, this is Exodus 16:13, that evening vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp, and the next morning the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is this? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it's the food the Lord's given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. Verse 17, so the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some gathered only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Pay attention to that word, just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. So God told them, gather roughly 2 quarts per person. Some people just like probably gathered more than that, it sounds like, and some people maybe only gathered a little bit. It doesn't matter how much they gathered, it was just enough to get by. And of course, you know, if they gathered a whole bunch more, then it would spoil the next day as well, too. We learn that as well, right? If you read further in that chapter. But the wilderness was not the destination. God did not want them to stay in the wilderness. The wilderness was the Promised Land, abundance and overflow. So the wilderness represents what? The wilderness represented just enough. Just enough to get by, just enough to help them get on their way. It was not more than enough, but it was rather just enough to squeak by. It was still God's provision. God was still providing it, was he not? The just enough was from the Lord. He was providing it, but it was not God's desire for his people. His desire for them was to spend, move quickly through the wilderness. Do you know what? They could have made that trip in probably a couple weeks, but it took them 40 years. That was not God's desire. The word tells us that unbelief kept them there. And in that time of unbelief and complaining, God still provided for them. He cared for his people, but it was just enough to get by. So once they arrived in the Promised Land, and we know what happened with starting with Jericho, and the Lord gave them just the strength and mighty victories in the battles that they had over the people that were in Canaan, and they were able to conquer and subdue the land. God again confirmed the same covenant that he had given to Abraham. God again confirmed it with Moses. And we're going to spend a little bit of time just in a short while in Deuteronomy 28. But Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14, that lists the blessings of obeying God and his commandments. It's the covenant expanded. It's the blessing expanded. And so the first part of that chapter, we have the blessings. And in the verses 15 to 68, we have all the curses for those who don't obey the Lord and the people that don't obey his commandments. And so the curses are about 14 verses, and then the blessings are 14 verses, and the curses are like 3 times as long. And they go to great detail. Spend some time looking at them if you want. Some of them is not pretty, but there's a lot there. Praise God, we have been redeemed from the curse. So Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When you're reading Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 68, that's the curse. Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it's written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. So Christ rescued us from the curse. If we're in Christ, We do not have to be concerned with the curses of the law anymore. So when we're spending time in Deuteronomy 28, if you want to read the curses for curiosity's sake, or if you're experiencing any one of those things, you know that's my legal right. I'm delivered and set free from that thing. But you certainly don't have to be worried and concerned about it. Amen? Where you want to have your focus is verses 1 to 14. Because the curses have been overturned and canceled and written off, but the blessings still stand. Let's keep on reading Galatians 3, verse 14. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. The blessing is many things, and certainly the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit here on earth. That's absolutely part of the blessing. But the very specific things that God promised Abraham and God promised Abraham, that covenant is part of the blessing that we have the right and the obligation and the opportunity to walk in and live in and experience now. The difference is that we don't receive the blessing by strictly following God's laws and his commandments and just getting it right to a T. And if we mess up a little bit, we don't have to, you know, sacrifice a firstborn animal in order to make up the difference and cover that for a year. We access the blessings by grace through faith, right? It's faith in the finished work of Jesus that we live in the blessing here today. So let's look at the blessing then. Let's go ahead. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the whole thing. I was thinking, should I read a little bit of it? And the more I read about it, the more excited I got about it. So we're going to read the whole thing. We're going to read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. I'm going for the cold water now. Verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Do you realize the blessing has momentum of its own? The blessing has initiative of its own. The blessing has power of its own. When you are in Christ, you don't have to chase after the... Does this say that, you know, the Lord will help you if you decide that you want to chase after the blessing and eventually you can maybe catch up to it and get some of it? It doesn't say that at all. It says the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, right? So think of a race and you're running. And then the runner that comes behind you and overtakes you and passes you. That blessing has a power and life of its own because it is commanded by God to come over you and overtake you in your life. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. We're in the country. Praise God. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Now these are, when you're going through all these, you have to realize these are metaphors as well too, right? I've told a story how when I accidentally ran over my black dog years ago, I'm sitting there holding my arms and he's howling and obviously in incredible pain. What do you do? Well, you go back to the blessing, you know, and so right away something, you know, just a righteous authority rose in me and I said, Ruger, you are part of my increase. You are part of my herd. And the blessing, you know, the blessing covers our animals. It covers those that are in our household, not just our human, you know, the human part of our household, but it covers our animals. I said, Ruger, you are healed in the name of Jesus. I declare the blessing of God over you. And you guys know the story. He's still kicking. If you come to our acreage, there's Ruger. He didn't break his hip or his pelvis or whatever. The Lord healed him. He's part of the blessing. I'm not sure why I went there, but... That's all right. Verse 7, or actually that's verse 6. I was talking about metaphors. You know, when it says, blesses your basket and your kneading bowl, it's talking about food and provision, right? So these are metaphors. Verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Praise God. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land to which the Lord your God has given you. So where does your increase come from? Do you have employment? Do you have a business? Do you have investments? The Lord's commanding blessing on your storehouses. And when you bring, as you did this morning, when you bring the increase that comes in, when you bring the best, the first 10% to the church, that's your storehouse as well. So the church is included in the blessing. Amen. When you bring the increase to here, You're bringing the blessing with you. You're activating the blessing in your local church. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of your Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be not only above and above only and not beneath, if you heed the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. You shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, to the left or the right, to go after other gods to serve them. Thank you that because we are in Christ, Jesus has fulfilled the requirements of the law. Amen. We can walk in the blessing, not because of what we've done or what we think we're going to do. We don't strive after it. We don't chase after it. But we have the opportunity, because it's part of the inheritance of Abraham, and it's part of our inheritance as children of God, to walk in the blessing. I want to focus just a little bit, because we're talking about the God of plenty today. We're going to talk just a little bit more about verse 11. Now that word, in Hebrew, it can mean plenteous or plenty. Plenteous, that's a strange word to me, and so let's just focus on the word plenty. But it means a more than adequate supply. It excess, more than enough. And then when it's talking about the word goods there, it's saying goods in the widest sense. So it's not just in goods as in like canned goods. Canned goods are good, you know, they're all right, but it means more than canned goods. It means good in the widest sense. So prosperity, wealth, benefits, things that are good for you. If it's good for you, if it's a blessing for you, if it has value and adds value to your life, that's a good thing. And so the Amplified says, the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. The Modern English Version says, the Lord will make you overflow in prosperity. Amen. This is a promise from the Lord. This is something we can wrap our faith around. This is something we can attach ourselves to and say, thank you, Lord, that you desire the blessing for me. You desire the promised land for me. You desire for me to walk in your overflow and your abundance. What does all those things sound like when I'm talking about a more than adequate supply, excess, more than enough, a surplus and overflow? Aren't those some of the same words that we use to describe El Shaddai, the God of plenty? Now, El Shaddai is not in this verse, but El Shaddai is the God of plenty. He is the God of more than enough. And he's not just the God of Moses and the Israelites. He's not the God of, Joseph, who, you know, when there was a time of famine in the land of Egypt, Joseph leaned into El Shaddai. And he had more than enough for the Egyptians. He had enough to sell to other nations, enough to rescue his family. Even in times of famine and lack, and in times when the world might not be experiencing enough, there's more than enough with El Shaddai. There's more than enough supply with El Shaddai. You know what? It seems like you're not totally convinced yet, so I have a few more verses here I'm going to read about the God of plenty. I'm just going to go roll through them one after the other. Psalm 115, 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, more than enough, increase, overflow, excess, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, but the Passion translates that as more than enough. Verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Even when there's an attack, even when there's stuff coming against you, it's God's will and God's desire that you walk in overflow of blessing, overflow of increase in your life. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And that word soul could mean your spirit or your heart. You know, people that come to me and say, you know what, the Bible is not really clear about, you know, physical abundance and physical. God wants spiritual blessing for us, but I'm not really sure that he wants us to overflow physically and to prosper in life. Well, this verse is pretty clear. It's saying, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul, just as you're prospering spiritually. I pray that you'll see evidence of that everywhere in your life, in all ways, and in all things, in your family, in your relationships, in your income, in your health. Hebrews 8:6, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who meditates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. This is a great verse for those of us who have ever been taught, well, you know, the blessing of Abraham, that's just really for Abraham. Well, look how good it was, and it's better for us. It's a better covenant with better promises. How can we possibly say that as good as it was for Abraham and as good as the promise was for Abraham, that that's not for us and that, you know, the Lord only has spiritual blessings for us? Read Deuteronomy 28:1-14. Those are not spiritual blessings. Those are physical blessings. That is the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living right here, right now. You were meant to live that way. You were meant to experience God's goodness in your life. Don't ever let the enemy convince you to settle for just enough to meet your needs. I don't like hearing that. Thankfulness is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And the Lord did provide for the people of Israel, right? When they were having just enough to get by, the Lord was providing. And so when we're experiencing just enough, it is the best thing that we can do to honor the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that you are supplying my needs. But don't stop there. Don't settle there. Don't say, that's all I need. I've got enough. You're meeting my needs, and I thank you for that. And it's this false humility when we're barely squeaking by. And we're saying, you know, I don't need any more. God's, you know, he's meeting my needs. I'm getting by. I'm paying the bills each month. Well, how about paying the bills 3 months ahead? Or how about not having any bills? Praise the Lord. He has more for you. Don't ever settle for just enough to get by. He wants you experiencing more than enough. Anything that is wrapped up in the name El Shaddai, anything that is revealed as you read the blessing, it is not just enough to get by. There is nothing about the blessing of Abraham that communicates this will just cause you to squeak through life and maybe have enough to just kind of, you know, make it through the month. There's nothing about that in the blessing. That is not the heart of God for his children. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Jerry Savelle talking about this very thing, and his voice just rung in my ear. And Jerry would say, he's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. Has anyone ever heard Jerry Savelle say that? He's not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. Praise God, he is El Shaddai. He is the God of more than enough. He's not El Cheapo. He's not trying to just slide us, you know, another 20 just to make sure that we can have enough milk to make us through the rest of the week or whatever. He is the God who desires more than enough for us. So we don't want to ever settle for just enough. The people of Israel, through unbelief, they settled for just enough. For 40 years, they dealt with just enough, and that was never God's plan for them at all. He's the God of more than enough. I'm going to show you another example of this from Scripture to back this up. This is John 6, and this is the story of feeding the 5,000. John 6, verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and they filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Here's a situation where Jesus is out preaching and, you know, the local McDonald's is closed. There's like, these people are hungry, right? And it says there was just 5,000 men. There could easily have been tens of thousands. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. It was not the feeding of the 5,000. It may have been the 20,000 or the 30,000. What if most of the men had, a wife with them, or grandmother or mother or whatever? And what if they each had 2 or 3 children? with them as well. So it could have been the feeding of the 10,000 or easily the 20,000. But Jesus spoke the blessing over the loaves and the fishes. And he said, thank you, El Shaddai. You are the God of more than enough. I declare the more than enough anointing, the anointing of multiplication in this situation. So what happened? There's leftovers. There's more than enough. Tens of thousands of people were fed from five loaves and two fishes, and there's more than enough. Now, I was thinking to myself, Peter is known as the impetuous one. You know, Jesus is probably sitting there and looking at Peter, and Peter's probably thinking, food fight, you know, like, what are we going to do with all this? And Jesus says, guys, stop. Don't waste the leftovers. Gather it. Get it all together. He says, gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. There's a lesson here that I never saw before, and maybe it's been preached and I've never heard it, but overflow has a mission. Abundance has an assignment. Plenty has a purpose. There's reason for the overflow. Jesus didn't just, you know, believe Heavenly Father for more than enough and say, well, let's just, you know, throw it in the bushes. No, there was purpose for it. He wanted to do something with the overflow. It was intentional. It was not accidental that there was overflow in that situation. So when we settle for less than God intends for us to enjoy, we miss out on the overflow that is intended for someone else. Your overflow might be someone else's supply. And if you're only going to extend your faith to meet your needs, someone else might be missing out. Your overflow could be someone else's supply. And then when they see their supply comes in, what happens? Their faith gets built, and now they're going to start believing for overflow. And their overflow could be someone else's supply. That's the way the kingdom was meant to work. The kingdom of God is built through overflow. Praise God. So on Thanksgiving Sunday, yes, let's be thankful for all God's provided, whether it seems like just enough or more than enough. But wherever we're at, we want to raise our expectation because we serve El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough, the God who is more than adequate, the God who is almighty, all-sufficient, wants to bring excess, overflow, and abundance in our lives. Church, we will never apologize for this. We believe it. And you know, and I can preach it. Even if I'm not walking in the fullness of it, I don't preach out of my experience. Do you know that? Well, you just learned that if you didn't know that. I don't preach out of my experience. I preach out of God's word because I'm there right there with you wherever I'm at, believing for a greater manifestation of God's goodness in my life, believing for a greater revelation, looking to increase my faith so that I walk in the fullness of everything He intends for me to walk in and experience. We're in this together. We don't base our beliefs are not based on what happened last year or, you know, the last 5 years or 10 years or whatever experiences we have. Our beliefs are based on the Word of God, the covenant that God outlines in His Word. And our belief in God's goodness, our belief in El Shaddai, the God of plenty, comes from the name of God that reveals His character, His nature, His will toward His children, but also reveals His covenant, the blessing. Amen? So if you've only been asking God to meet your needs, change your thinking. Increase your asking. Ask for more. Ask for more than enough. Ask for overflow because the kingdom needs you and the kingdom needs your overflow. Whatever it is, call on the God of more than enough. Call on El Shaddai. Amen? Let's stand. Praise you, God. What an honor, Lord, to be in your house on Thanksgiving Sunday. Giving praise to you. What an honor to be in your house on this day with everything that's happened this year, saying, Lord, we're still here, and you have shown yourself to be strong toward your people. You have shown yourself to be mighty on our behalf. You have shown yourself to be faithful, Lord. And so, Lord, we come to you with such excitement and such gratitude and such wonder at all that you've done. And Lord, we let our hearts be stirred at the goodness that you still intend for us to walk in, the increase that you desire for us, the overflow, that it's your design and it's your will that we walk in, because it's not for us. The supply is for us. The overflow is for someone else. We thank you. You've created this system where the kingdom of God is built and works on overflow, but then you made the overflow possible through Jesus. So we thank you for the covenant of grace that we live in, and we thank you, Lord, for the blessing where you meet every need, but not just meet it, but you bring more than enough. You make us the head and not the tail. You cause us to be above and not beneath. You cause us to be blessed coming in and going out, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you increase, Lord, the work of our hand, Lord. You bless our herds and our flocks, our relationships, Lord, those in our household, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that all that we set our hand to, all that's in our hearts to do, Lord, you give us the desires of our heart, but you give us the anointing to see that thing be realized right here, right now on earth. So I declare the blessing over every ear that's listening this morning. I declare the blessing of God in this place, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord. Give us, Lord, a realization, Lord, that you are desiring the blessing to chase after us and overtake us. We don't strive for it. We rest in it. We don't chase after it. We let it come after us, because the blessing has a life and an anointing of its own, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for this revelation. Lord, help us understand it. Help us get a greater understanding of your desire for us to experience the life of God, who's revealing himself as El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one, the almighty one, the one who meets every need and then more, the God of more than enough. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, as we spend time with friends and family over today and tomorrow, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you give us times that are just rich times of fellowship together, Lord. If we're spending times with loved ones who don't know, we thank you for supernatural opportunities to speak the love of God to them, to speak blessing into their lives, Lord. Help us manage conversations in the way that continue to bring glory and honor to you when we're talking about things that are going on in our world, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, to maintain a perspective of faith, Lord, when we're talking about the things that are going on, Lord. We thank you that our trust is in you, our hope is in you, Lord. We declare as we spend time together with immediate family and extended family and friends, Lord, that we bring honor and glory to you. Help us represent your heart to our world this next week, Lord, and through this Thanksgiving holiday. Lord, I declare blessing in the favor of God on Solid Rock Church, everyone here today, Lord. We thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. And we thank you that when we go out from here, we carry your presence with us. So that wherever we go, there's fullness of joy. We ask and believe all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for joining us for Thanksgiving Sunday. Enjoy the turkey and whatever else you might be doing. We'll see you here next week.